decisions they must make. End quote. Part 5 discusses Clive Candy as a character and compares him with Churchill, who tried to suppress the film at the time, and then moves on to Anton Walbrook as Theo. The last chapter is addressing the issue of why the three women are all played by the same actress, Deborah Carr, and explores the film's theme of loss of home and love, concluding, I am certain that Powell and Pressburger and the life and death of Colonel Blimp are firmly a part of the home I carry within me, of that need for more and better, which I think is part of being alive. Although they can bring me close to despair when I think of all they represent and how much of it is now lost, they also provide encouragement, constructive anger, and hope, as good art should. When I find myself walking through Chinatown and feel a familiar cold, I am not lonely, and I am not completely undefined. Thus ends the book. But though that comes with a new 2020 foreword, it should be read as an afterword. It is packed with personal, cultural observations, and ends this way. I hope you enjoy the film. It was made in a dark time, was controversially nonconformist, and remains beautiful, compassionate, and filled with light. It's the kind of thing to keep you company. So that's it for Film at 11. We'll be back next week.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will be held on Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar in Southeast Portland. At the annual meeting, members will have an opportunity to meet candidates running in the board election, and final votes will be cast and counted. The results of the election will be announced at the end of the meeting. Online voting is open now through the annual meeting at kboo.fm/board24. Paper ballots may also be requested. Again, that's KBOO's annual meeting and board election on September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, 1300 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/board24.
Breaking with convention, war, peace, and the presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Join Democracy Now! For our expanded two-hour daily coverage from the Republican and Democratic National Conventions. We'll be at the DNC in Chicago from August 19th to 23rd. We'll be reporting from the streets to the corporate suites to the convention floor, bringing you the voices of people from the top to the bottom, inside and out. That's Democracy Now!, Breaking with Convention. Tune in.
Listen to Black Book Talk at KBOO-FM every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon. Co-hosts O.B. Hill, Patricia Welch, and Emma Jackson Ford discuss African-American authors and books. That's Black Book Talk every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon on KBOO-FM.
And once again, we are live here in the studio with in the air room with Once Upon a Time with your host Consuelo, aired every first and third Friday of the month at 11 a.m. Feel free to call us now, 503-231-8187. Your participation is welcome throughout the show today. Again, that is 503-231-8187. 87.
This is Consuelo, another Friday here. Happy to be here. We have a tremendous guest. I am very happy to be with Erin, and she's going to introduce herself as we always do, and we will have a lot to talk, and I will let you know when the line will be open for you to give us a call, ask a question, a comment, whatever, even a consultation. You can do all the above. Okay, Erin, nice to see you. Nice to be here with you. Tell us about you.
Yeah, nice to be here with you too. Well, my name is Erin Harrell, and part of the reason you asked me to be on the show is that I'm a licensed professional counselor. I'm in private practice here, and I meet with people one-on-one for mental health counseling. And I really enjoy most working with people who are, we call them either now older adults. Sometimes people think the word elder is a problematic word, although I'm not sure I really like that word, but older adults, so people generally 65 and over. I grew up in Florida. I've been in Portland for about 6 years. What else would you like me to say to introduce myself?
Whatever you want to say. What are your activity? I mean, apart from your profession, what are the things that you like? Nature, art, what are the interests do you have?
Yes, well, I certainly love nature and art, both. Yeah. Let's see, how do I spend time? Let's see, this time of year I'm starting to think about the fact that food is starting to become available, so I like to go around and talk to you. I leave notes for my neighbors sometimes that have trees and fruit that they're not picking, and make connections that way and end up harvesting the fruit around my neighborhood.
Nice to have that kind of connection and that sense of community in your neighborhood. That is something that I am very impressed always in the state, because I think your neighbor become your family. And what bring you to Portland?
What brought me here originally was my partner, Andrew, and he wanted to attend Maitripa College, which is a small Buddhist college here in Portland.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did he do it?
He did. Yeah, he finished. And although COVID made it a little more difficult than initially expected, and now he's actually living in McLeod Ganj in Northeast India, studying the Tibetan language.
Oh, nice.
So he's not here, but I am.
Yeah. But are you still together?
Yes, we're still together.
Oh, very nice. Long distance relationship, but you live together, so that make it easier also.
Yeah.
And let's talk directly to what is our subject. Our subject, as we know, and we have been talking many times, is how word help us to healing or to heal, especially in hard moment, hard times, grieving, and feeling lonely and sometimes devastating. And I have been talking also many times about my journal and how I started my journal when I was 11 years old, and how the writing helps to put things in perspective and to analyze. What is your opinion as an expert? Expert in the subject of talking to people.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have spent time thinking about and considering the role of language in our lives, and particularly around ideas of self-discovery and self-understanding, which I think is one of the kind of baselines for what we're calling healing, right? That process of coming into real contact with your own life and having some perspective on it so that you can make friends with it and begin to make decisions to continue to move forward. Yeah. So what would I say about journaling? I mean, in my own life, I did start journaling on and off as a kid. I never found it something that I was consistent about. I think I would get kind of hung up about being concerned that someone else might read it or see it. I think also I remember particularly like around my 20s feeling really frustrated that anytime I was journaling, I would keep writing about the same things over and over and over. And it made me feel like I wasn't kind of progressing in any way. And now in my late 40s, I have a different perspective on that, which is more like there are a few things that I keep struggling with, but I understand so much more about it. And each time I come in contact with those habits or those kind of snags in my life, I am able to work with them in a different way and maybe be a little bit friendlier with them. So that's one of the things when I think about journaling, it lets us do is really get to know who we are through time.
Yeah, and also it's rewarding when you look back and you read back and you said, oh, how did I do that? How I managed to live through different. The other day, I found one of my so-called journal full of number, money. Mm-hmm. I have to pay, I pay, I didn't pay, I do pay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my goodness, that was in 2008 when we had the big crisis and we didn't have any client going to Chile or other places in the world. And I was suffering terrible. So when I read that, I started crying and feeling, oh my goodness, it's true. Everything passed.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a certain proof that you accomplished something, don't you think?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's one of the things that when we talk about healing now that we understand, it's about coming into contact with the things that at one point felt impossible to come in contact with. So for instance, with grieving, right? One of the things that happens is people can kind of put it off or put it aside and really not fully go through it because the fear that I've heard people speak to so many times is something like, if I begin to cry, I'll never stop.
So what? You create another ocean.
You say
not
this,
a dead ocean, but you create something.
You say this now, but if we went back to who you were when you were writing about the money and we said, so what? So what, you end up bankrupt? So what, you end up destitute on the streets? No big deal.
This is what I did.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I mean, yes, because I think the most important thing, or one of the important things I have learned in my life is that you don't focus in the problem, you focus in the solution. Oh. So my attitude was, I went to the bank and I said, I am here, I want to pay, how we can do this?
Yeah.
And the person who was a wonderful woman who helped me a lot, she said, I haven't seen this before in my life. Okay, let's try to figure out. And we did.
Yeah.
And I pay.
Right. What do you think lets you be someone who focuses more on the solution than the
problem? I think my level of creativity, it helped a lot. And, and because I am a Virgo, I think I have a strong influence from my sign. Mm-hmm. And I like to concrete, very practical and efficient and organized.
Right.
And that is important because why I will keep dealing with something that I didn't I have the solution, but I needed somebody else to help me to do that.
Yeah.
Even she called the bank, we were at the bank, and she called her boss and she said, because the boss didn't agree, and she said, we want her to pay us or we don't want her to pay us. I always remember that. And the woman said, yes, so we have to help her to pay us.
So I hear a really important thing, which is that you went and got some support from somebody else.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Because that's one of the things that can happen when we're on our own facing something that's really, really hard, that we don't feel able to get to the solution. We are kind of stuck in the problem, that bringing someone else in, someone kind, someone trusted, right? Like, we want to be careful about who we bring in, but bringing somebody else in really can help shift our perspective because they do know things and they're not caught up in that problem in the same way.
I completely agree. Yeah. I think the most important, the most important, one of the important things is to recognize our capacity.
Yeah.
And we are social beings.
Yeah.
So we need the other. We need to be humble and recognize I need help.
Yeah.
I cannot do this by myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we can't do that if we jump to the solution too quickly. We have to spend a little more time with the problem to truly understand it, to be ready to sort of face it. Then we can get to the solution.
Yeah. And there is where the journal or whatever thing that you write you do, it helps because you make a plan or you make a strategy or you say, I am completely lost.
Right.
Sometimes my father used to tell me when I was young, Yeah. You are lost in time and space. And I was. And it's fine. And when you feel that way, you should not do anything. Only think and be, take a walk and meditate if possible, and the solution will come to your mind. Yeah. It will. But going back to Griffin.
Yeah.
Griffin is the dog I take for a walk. I'm thinking about her. No, I am. Let's talk about grieving.
Yeah.
And there are some stage in the process. I am a widow. In March a year ago, my husband died. Mm. And so I have been going through that kind of process. But what is your advice? How we approach?
Yeah.
That's
how do we approach grieving?
Yes.
Yeah, and really
especially the loss of a person, because grieving it has a different approach, because can be that you lost a loved one, could be that you lost a job, can be that you lost a baby that haven't even born, wasn't born. And there are a lot
absolutely. One of the kind of grief that I work with people a lot around is actually the sort of constant grief that comes often for people as they're aging. Because one of the things that happens is you begin to lose yourself, the idea of who you are, which has been formed all through, right? And we get to this stage kind of often in our adulthood, which lasts for quite a while, where we feel sort of like, oh, this is who I am. I have these tastes, I have these capabilities, other people respond to me in this way. And then as we get older, right, suddenly everything starts changing around us. People are responding to us differently. We're noticing that our bodies are quite different, you know, and sometimes it's really subtle, but at some point it stops being subtle. And it stops being something that you can kind of pretend isn't happening, which a lot of people in our culture tend to do, sort of act like they're not actually changing. They're not actually getting older. And those changes look like loss to a lot of people. It looks like I'm losing myself. And going through and recognizing there is some grief there. There's some grief about the person who you have been in the past isn't here any longer. So it's a calling to what is actually happening right now. What is the immediacy of who you are and how you are now? So I think the same thing is true when we're talking about grieving for a different kind of loss. It's that dual thing of recognizing and going through the process of really, truly being sad and honoring the thing that used to be here, the person, the part of your life that used to be here, because you cherished it. That's why you're sad, right? And then also coming more into contact with what is the reality of right now? So it's not what it was before, but what is it now? And beginning to have that sense of alive, constant curiosity about our lives. Yeah.
I think it's very, very important. I have a friend who said we became invisible to younger people.
Yeah.
I don't feel that that way at all. I have a few younger women and men who are my friend and very good friend. And but I believe that one of the important tools that help us to this transition is creativity, as you said, to reborn in some ways, to take what we have from the past that like it and that we can still use it in our benefit and put it in the service of others.
Yeah.
And to think that there is still, we are useful, there is still, we are alive, that we are a wonderful person, we have experience, and we have a lot to share.
Yeah.
That is something that for me is very important, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
To work as a volunteer, to work in your house, in your garden, with your children, with your grandchildren, to write, to read, to move, to travel, please, travel. And all those things, if you are still, and even if you have some kind of physical problem, still you can do it in your own way, and not to allow the present life to come over you, to push you down. No, for me, the most difficult of aging has been the way how other people look at me. Sometimes I feel that they look at me like, oh, she is, and I think, no, I don't believe in time. When I was younger, I was 10 years old and I felt I was 40. When I was 40, playing with my dog, Sunny was his name, I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And now that I am older enough, I many times, even when I am working and it's hard, I feel that I am 25. And I think, oh, it's great that still I can do this. And so we need to keep that perspective in term of aging and in term of time passing by. Because time passing by when you don't do anything creative or anything useful.
Yeah.
That is the most important thing. What is the role of connection, emotion, friendship in this period? Tell what do you think?
What is, wait, I just want to...
What is the importance of having good emotional connection, like friendship, and like something that we love, pets, for example? What do you think?
Well, we were talking a little bit before. Yes. I think you and I both tend to be people who live in relationship, that that's how we understand things. It's what we really feel like is important. So since we've been living that way and we understand ourselves that way, you know, we are likely going to be people that that sense of relationship is going to continue to be important. For some people, they have a different reality, that for them, there might be only one or two really important relationships in their lives that kind of keeps them focused and keeps them going. So I would say I'm coming from a place that's like, it really depends on who the person is and how that relationship, and it's not just about other people and other and pets even. It's also can be your relationship to music, your relationship to a particular tree in a park that you like to go visit and notice how it changes through the year and feel as if you're in conversation with that. That I would say there's not actually a way for us to not be in relationship. It's just whether or not we're noticing it and giving it a sense of value. So it is very important. I mean, I don't want to, I want to make sure that I'm sort of making room for people who maybe aren't really... like charismatic people, you know, for people who maybe feel a little quieter, maybe don't make that kind of instant connection that I see that you and I kind of can do, that they may have a different way of being in relationship with things, right? And we also were talking about the importance of being really in relationship with yourself. And that is, I would say, probably the most important relationship, because it determines how we go about all the other relationships in our world. And that's really oftentimes where therapy and counseling is working, is how is your relationship with yourself and your kind of interior world limiting or opening up the way in which you are interacting with the world? And
Yeah, in some way, we are always healing our first trauma, and we bring them through our life. So if we don't know, if we haven't identified them, we are in trouble. Okay, I want to remind you, my beautiful audience, our beautiful audience, that here we are with Erin Harrell and talking about emotion, feeling, getting older every day, everybody, not only us. And our phone number here is 503-231-8187. We are going to open our lines so you can start calling, asking questions, congratulate her, and tell a little bit about yourself, how difficult has been going through different process in your life, whatever you want. Here we are very open, so talk to us. That will be very nice. What is the role of, I finish with the previous, is I think the relationship with ourselves is the most important relationship, that for sure. If we are not happy with who we are not happy at all with anybody, not even with the dog. But I think also we are human beings, as I said before, and we have the word, and we have the emotion, and we have a lot of things, and that we need to share. I think to belong is very important. Where you belong, that doesn't matter. But if you feel that you're welcome in a place, that somebody knows your name, that if you are sick, they ask you, are you doing better? If you are going through divorce, how is it going? Do you need something? That is happiness, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree with you. I also experience things that way. And looking for a place, feeling like you have people and places that you belong to is incredibly important, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when talking as an immigrant, it's very important to feel that you are welcome in certain places, mm-hmm. or the place where you chose mm-hmm. to be, yeah. and to feel also that you are appreciated. Mm-hmm. We all look for that kind of reward, appreciation, yeah. that doesn't have anything to do with money.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, there's a writer who let's see if I can remember her name, Tokopah Turner, and she's actually someone who does a lot of work around dreams, which is not something that's a specialty for me.
I love that.
But she there's a book that she wrote that's about belonging, and I think it's something like dreaming ourselves home. And in that book, it's quite challenging because she actually really brings in the idea that... Okay.
Hi. I don't listen to anybody.
Hello.
Hello.
You hear me, Consuelo? Hello.
Yes, I am here. You. Hi. Hello. How are you?
Good. Good. This is Nancy in Southeast Portland.
Oh, nice, nice, Nancy.
Yeah. Are we on air?
Yes, we are on the air. So you can ask a question, whatever you want to do.
Well. Living in my home here for about 24 years. And when I first moved here, I was one of the new kids on the block. You know, I was one of the younger residents. And now 24 years have gone by. I'm still here, and I'm one of the older people on the block. And I am no longer I feel that I'm not really of interest to my neighbors. Okay, I'm hearing my voice.
Turn it down.
And so what I find is that I have lost that sense of being recognized as belonging here that I used to have. I mean, I used to throw the parties in the street and everything. So... it's interesting. I don't know if I'll ever go back to feeling like I'm a part of the old neighborhood, but I know that there is a sense of loss and grieving with our changes. And I don't mean that as a downer, mm-hmm. but I guess I'm hearing...
Turn on the radio. Turn off the radio, please.
Okay.
Otherwise, we will not be able to listen to you.
One moment.
That is a mistake, everybody.
I know. Anyone who listens to community radio knows.
Yeah. Turn it off. What can you say in the meantime?
Well, what I was saying about the book is actually right on, is because this book that I was talking about, hi, Nancy, if you're there, I was talking just before you came in about this book, and it's really a challenging message.
What is the name of the book again?
Belonging. I think it's Dreaming Ourselves Home. And it's really quite challenging, but she is talking about the idea that just in the same way when we talk about trust, right? For someone to trust us, we have to be trustworthy. And so there's this question that she brings forward about belonging is also something that we can extend and offer. So then we might start talking about welcome. And what is it that how can we become someone who is welcoming? And that shifts it, because then we're not waiting on somebody else to help us feel as if we belong. We get to create the space and the environment that is welcoming and says to others, belonging feels so good. Let's try to belong together in this way through being welcoming. So I'm finishing my point, but I'm also kind of responding to you, Nancy, and I wonder how does that sound? Does that sound too challenging, or does that sound like something you've thought about?
Are you there? Nancy?
Oh, well, what do you think?
We lost her. I think we create our opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, as you said, as an extrovert, it's easier. Right. And I am usually friendly. an extrovert. So in that sense, I think is not a problem. Yes. Hi. Hi.
Hi, Consuelo.
Yes.
Oh, well, this is Nancy in Southeast Portland again.
Okay, tell. What did you think about her, what Erin was comment to you?
I was responding and talking about how when you've gone from being one of the younger people in your neighborhood to being one of the older people in your neighborhood, you've lost your identity. And the other people around on the streets and things, nice, good friends, dogs and everything, but they don't know me. They don't know how long I've lived here, and I really have to take the initiative to get conversations going with people. And but there is something lost when I think they don't know who I am. Or I think when I was 30, or 35, they weren't even born yet. And it just kind of grabs me.
Yeah.
Sorry, Erin. Mm. I understand perfectly well because to me, I can relate it because I came to Oregon after many, many years that I haven't been living in Oregon, and first time in Portland, too. So why we don't change the perspective, and instead of thinking that they should know who you are, why you try to know who they are? Because obviously the people that you met, they're not there anymore. New houses sell all the time, and new people are coming to the neighborhood. So that's maybe you should do a potluck and invite all the neighborhood before the summer is over. And said, let's get together, let's get to know each other. Other solution I will do is to find another organization like a library or church or any other group where you can start new relationship, and mm-hmm. they will get to know who are you now. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. I am a writer, and one of the writer I study and I wrote about it, she said, nobody knows you in when you live abroad. This this is the loneliness that you feel now in the neighborhood, that nobody can say, oh, I met her when she was 5, when she was 10, when she was 11, when she had her first boyfriend, I met her husband. It's true. And when I was living in Montreal in Canada, and one of my friend there, she said, oh, I am so happy now. And I said, how will you not be happy? You are with me, who knows and love your parents and know you since I was born, because she's older than mm-hmm. me. And that kind of connection is wonderful if we have it. But if we don't have it for A, B, C reason, we can start new connection with new people, bring it to our life. Yeah, I am available really here, Nancy, so I can go and have coffee with you anytime.
Great.
Okay.
We'll do that.
And Nancy, part of what I would encourage is, like, you can do both. You can have that sense of longing and understanding that there are that kind of depth of relationship may not be present right now in this situation. Mm-hmm. You can do that and start to kind of explore this other piece mm-hmm. of
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also want to say, you know, when we're thinking about things like the energy that it takes to form community, because I'm in so many conversations in my life with people who are talking about feeling lonely and disconnected and really wanting to build and have and be a part of community, that it's a lot of energy. And, you know, depending on people's circumstances, whether it's because they're, you know, where their body is and that it has limits of energy and ability, whether it's because their circumstances where they're having to work long hours, or maybe they're in the life stage where they're raising a lot of children, or maybe they're caretaking for someone, right? So those are all of the kind of demands that sometimes we do have to find a way to connect with each other mm-hmm. in in the actual building of the community, right? Does this make sense? So it's not like...
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also learn a language. Any language can be a language like Spanish, or can be to learn how to do ceramic, or meet up. There are several groups. When I was in Chile looking who I will meet in Portland, I look and there are a group for going for a walk, group for going for a coffee, group for pa-pa-pa-pa. Because what you are feeling... You are not alone, my dear. We all have been going through the same stage, especially when we lost our husband. Our previous life is very hard, I can tell you. And you have to recreate, reinvent yourself again.
Yes, you do.
Reborn. Yeah. And it's a beautiful challenge, and I am sure you are capable. Okay?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, and keep listen to the program, because next time we will have somebody who is going to talk about the connection between art and grieving. So that will help you. Okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Stay safe. Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
You.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I think the problem that we have when we get older is that some young people think that we don't have anything to say, that we will not understand them, that we are so into the past. No, I am not into the past. I am here now, first thing. And the second thing is that there is a lot in this society, I mean our world society, especially Western society, put so much emphasis in youth. Not like the other society that they encourage and the respect for the older, like Native American used to, and China and Japan, Asian society.
Right.
So it's very hard to tell a younger girl, the 20 years old, look, I can help you. I can be your friend. I have something to give you. You see,
sure. Yeah.
And I think that interrelationship, not only multicultural in terms of ethnicity, but in terms of age, is very important too.
I agree. I actually grew up. One of the things that is I grew up in the church. I grew up in Florida in the Southern Baptist Church. My parents are ministers, and people always hear the cultural references. People think that means my family was very conservative, but they actually weren't. I grew up in a really progressive, loving kind of Christian environment, and the church that my father led was we had one of the sort of programs. There was an apartment building that the church owned and ran as low income apartments for elders. And so not only were we in Florida, where all of my neighbors were retirees, but our church also had a really large elder population because of this apartment building. And I grew up from the ages of like 4, 5, 6, you know, 8, 9, 10. My best friends were people in their 70s and 80s. And
lucky them to have you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So lucky you to have them.
Yeah. It's so much. So I was brought up in this, but I lost track of my point in telling that story. I fell into all of the memories about being in a rose garden with an older friend. Let's see.
So
I want to say the thing about the importance of having this intergenerational mix too is about really recognizing what your role might be at a particular time. So one of the things that I think has happened, why it's so difficult sometimes, is because what is the role of an older person in a community? And that's partly what I was trying to get at with Nancy, is like, it kind of doesn't make sense for her to have to be the one to have the energy that it takes to put on an event, right? Like hosting an event and a gathering can be something. And I'm not saying that every person above a certain age has a certain kind of energy. In the same way, I'm not saying that somebody that's 30 has a certain kind of energy. But often, right, as we're older, we sort of feel like, I did it. I was at that stage of being really the person who was kind of pulling things together. And I kind of am tired of it. I would like somebody else who doesn't have that experience to get the experience of being in that role, of being that generative person. And I want to be able to just come and be a respected guest, right? So because we don't have those kind of established ideals about what is my role here, what is my place, we're sort of making it up. And I think we're all really called to maybe do a little bit more than we have been to be, yeah. Consuelo's face looks so suspicious. I don't know what's going on over there.
Because I think that is a completely cultural statement.
Yeah.
In my culture, at least, and my temperament and personality, as we know, is your house is yourself. So in a way that you open your house and you, or even if it's in the garden, but you, I didn't say that she has to be in charge of everything. Everybody has to participate in some way or another. But you are the leader. And if you are not, you don't have that quality of being a leader, you found the leader in the community and you said, this will be good to do.
Yes. This is what I would encourage people to do, is to, in that thing about, we can't convince, I feel this myself. In my late 40s, when I meet people who are in their 20s, I know that they do not look at me and off the bat go, oh, you have things that I could learn from, right? But yeah, no, you're Consuelo's making.
No, very expressive.
Yeah.
Because I never felt that. I always approach when I see, because I have said before in this program, the teacher is the one who is concerned about now. The mentor is the one who is concerned about the future of that person, of that young person. So I describe myself as a mentor.
Yes.
And every time I look younger, everybody's younger than me most of the time, the first thing is, what do you want? How do you see yourself in the next 5 years? To help to open road, you see?
Yeah.
That is important. So there are many ways that you can approach people, and sometimes a pet can be a bridge, or a food, an ice cream. Oh, you like, I love that ice cream. Or go to a movie. Yeah, I go to a movie now by myself. I hate it because I love to comment. So one time I went to a movie, and it was a very good movie. It was they recommended to me. So at the end of the movie, I approached a group of women who were coming out of the, like me, and I said, please, can we come in a movie?
Yes,
and
yes.
we did. And it was fun.
Yeah.
But that is personality.
That is personality.
I don't pretend everybody to be so fresh.
Right. But okay. I love this commentary about the mentorship piece.
Yes.
Because what you're doing by asking a question is you're inviting them in. Right?
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, maybe Nancy has a capacity to teach how to, who knows, to bake or to the garden is her expertise. We didn't ask her. Or certain music. And there are all kind of people. And where we don't even think, you find somebody who is talent and somebody who is compatible. I am going to dedicate this program. I always dedicate the program to somebody, to my dear friend Rob, who is a very intelligent, generous friend, and we worked together, and she was the one who spoke to me about Erin.
Yeah.
So I am thankful to you, my dear. I hope you are listening to the program, because you are very important in my life.
Yeah.
I want you to read that poem, that you brought.
Great. Okay. So because I understood that the show was about language and the importance of that, I was so excited to get a chance to share my very favorite poem, at least right now. There's been a lot of different poems that have held that space. But this is a poem by Linda Gregg, and it's out of her book, All of It's Singing. It's called The Apparent. I'll try to do it justice. I like reading poetry more than reciting it, but here we go. When I say transparency, I don't mean seeing through. I mean the way a symbol is made when an X is drawn over O, as the world moves when it is named, in the sense of truth by consciousness, which we translate as opposites. The space we breathe is also called distance. Presence gives, absence allows and calls until presence holds the invisible weeping. Transparent in the way the heart sees old leaves, as we become more like the hills by feeling. I mean permanence, as when the deer and I regard each other. Oh, there was no fear then. When she went with her young from the meadow back into the nearly night of woods, it was because the rain came down suddenly harder.
Mm, my goodness,
huh?
This is, we need to read it
right?
like a prayer. every day, morning and evening.
Right? Yeah.
Mm. Read it again. Yeah.
Oh, no, really? Yes, the whole thing? Yes. Okay. When I say transparency, I don't mean seeing through. I mean the way a symbol is made when an X is drawn over O, as the world moves when it is named. In the sense of truth by consciousness, which we translate as opposites, the space we breathe is also called distance. Presence gives. Absence allows and calls until presence holds the invisible weeping. Transparent in the way the heart sees old leaves. As we become more like the hills by feeling. I mean permanence. As when the deer and I regard each other. There's no fear then. When she went with her young from the meadow back into the nearly night of the woods, it was because the rain came down suddenly harder.
Yeah, it's a beautiful poem.
Isn't it? It's so... Yeah, my favorite, just for in this context right now, is thinking about as the world moves when it is named. That there's so much power in our language and in our words and in our naming and in our saying, oh, this is the problem. This is the thing that I'm struggling with. And that we get to decide, you and I were talking before, we get to decide, is that problem something that weighs us down, or is that problem something that is an exciting part of life, that's the kind of agitation that gives us something to do, you know? I mean, what are we doing here?
Also because more than as a problem, I like to think as a challenge. Something that we need to figure out. And we have learned a lot of things during this almost an hour. Yeah. And one of the things, in my opinion, is that we have to look for help. That is very, very important. Because sometimes we can resolve our problem all ourselves. And in terms of what do you think has been, as a conclusion, summary, the most important thing that we spoke tonight?
Not that long of a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, for me, what I think I'll leave with is the sense of, I think that you and I actually probably see things a little differently, and how joyous that is, that we don't need to sort of pound things down until we have complete agreement. We can be here and kind of exchanging and enjoying that sense. And you've given me some things that I'll take and I'll be curious about for a while and see if I can kind of integrate it in with what my life has taught me. Yeah.
I agree. I think that is communication. See, we don't need to have a mirror, even we look for a mirror, isn't it? And a person who, but we need to have, for me, the most important are the value and belief and a sense of humor too. I love somebody who has a sense of humor, and our common friend has a lot of sense of humor. She made me laugh all the time. And so I think the way how we look at aging, there is a wonderful book written by the writer that I, you know, the people who has followed me from the beginning, Simone de Beauvoir, called the older, or the vieillesse in French. And it's very interesting how she is, it's an essay, how she is describing the every stage of the way. And everybody encouraged that, again, connection with art, with pet, with flower, with friend, with yourself, with anybody. And it's very important. And because we are living in a certain term of isolation, what is very dangerous in my opinion, and because we have the internet, many long-distance relationships has been growing.
Yeah.
It's something incredible, even myself in a long distance relationship. And it's because it's very nice when you are alone that somebody call and said, all right, how is it going? Did you have your coffee? Good night, sleep well. Okay, that is enough, especially when you don't have children, like is my case.
Yeah.
So again, word, communication, and to don't give up. I think to stay at home permanently is a very bad way to give up. We have to go out to the world and expose ourselves.
I know, even if it feels bad. I know. Yes. I was just talking with a friend. She and I both often are working in our own spaces, isolated, and she was talking about how she just has to get out into the world so people can see her, so that her life can be seen, can be witnessed, you know? And even a simple thing like going to the grocery store creates that kind of feeling that we have to remember. And it is something that we have to sort of be proactive about and mindful about, you know,
I agree. Okay, if you want to contact Erin, where they can contact Erin?
Oh, great. So my website's probably the most straightforward. It's my name, so Erin Harrell counseling, counseling.com. So erinharrellcounseling.com. Yeah.
That will be one way you can keep talking to her, asking questions, and get to know her, and you will learn a lot about yourself and about how can we give a few tips how to improve our life. A little bit.
Just really quickly. Just
we already said a lot of things that they can be done.
Okay. How we can improve our lives. I mean, I think being kind and compassionate with ourselves is really the very first step, because if we, every time we stop to pay attention to ourselves and to have a conversation, all we're faced with is criticism and judgment and harshness, why would we do that, right? So I think that thing of kind of emphasizing and looking for a sense of kindness and compassion and acceptance within yourself for yourself is a really important place to begin. And then the next step is this recognition that there might be things that are ready to be changed and that you really would like for things to be different. And so staying connected to that little bit of kind of agitation in you to make things new and make things different. And like you were saying, it really does often take getting in relationship in order to do that, that we have to be able and willing to expand beyond ourselves. So those are the two things I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I think also to be surrounded by positive people. Mm. I think to have that good energy bring you good energy.
Yeah.
And surrounded by good people, positive people, and beauty.
Mm.
Right now, the Portland Art Museum is having a wonderful exposition about the French Impressionists, what I adore, obviously. Mm. And so I invite you to go there and recreate yourself with that beautiful painting and those scenery and those people, and think that life is something more than our daily challenge, and that make us feel very good. A good music, a good book, a good painting, and a good nature park walking. And please also, I will say that it's important to be thankful to our experience, all the things that we have been going through, even the one who are very painful. I appreciate that you came very happy. We do have something else to. We will have to invite her again, because there are other subjects we have to approach. Mm. And we didn't talk about passion in older time.
Yeah.
And how passion is very important. Mm-hmm. And also, I will suggest take a bus. I when I came to Portland, I didn't buy a car, so I took the public transportation. What I love it, nothing new. We all love it. But take a bus that you haven't taken before, and go with the bus until the end. Mm. I used to do that. I did that in London sometime, and it's very funny, because it was one way that I get to know the different neighborhood, and. So I there are so many things that they're not very expensive, where we can still have a good time and experience ourselves looking. And I learned a lot about the kind of community that we have in Portland in the bus. I spoke with many people that knew about Chile in the stop.
Consuelo, I think that you should lead tours.
Well, no, I own a tour company. Oh. I own a tour company. And so, yes, I had a wonderful story. A woman was sitting, we were both waiting for the bus, and suddenly I saw her bag, and I said, oh, I recognize that bag. And then she asked, where are you from? Chile. Oh, and she said, Easter Island. And she looked very humble, or her husband, more humble than her. I said, well, how do you know Easter Island? Oh, my grandma used to read to me, and when I was reading something and I didn't know where it was, show me in the atlas. So I know where Easter Island is, and I know that belonged to Chile. I said, I cannot believe it. You know more than many people in this country. I lead a company, and when I show folk from Easter Island, people said, what is that? I didn't know that belonged to Chile. Mm-hmm. You see? So she was happy. She said, you made my day. No, you made mine. It was splendid. I mean, who would have thought that in the bus stop, yeah, I will find somebody who knew about Easter Island?
Right.
Unthinkable.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we're curious and open ourselves like that, we get surprised. And that is generally a pretty good feeling, to just have that kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it is one way to connect, even if it's only for a sec, eight minutes. And when I get off, bye-bye, nice to meet you, good luck, ta-ta.
Yeah.
Ciao, ciao. Right. That was it. Mm-hmm. But this story, indeed, I am thinking to write my next book is about Oregon, especially Portland, and all the experience that I had in the bus.
Mm.
In the bus, not only in the bus, with the people in the radio, all this wonderful. So there are so many ways, and I am sure you know, so many ways how we can connect with one another.
Yes.
Yes, and one way also is to a book club is another way.
Yeah,
you can belong to library, usually have that kind of a event, and it's nice. And also dating, Nancy, why not? We should be dating. Huh?
Yeah, there's
always
absolutely.
A hope. Yeah, one guy, I was in a dating thing, and he said, oh, you are like Isabel Allende. Huh? Uh-huh. I said, yeah, I am not as old as Isabel Allende. Anyway, here we are one more time. We are ready for the next program. Will be September the 6th. Mm. I is going to celebrate 1 year on the air. I have been very proud and very happy and very thankful to this station, public station, where I have been very, very happy and extremely helpful to Ender and to the whole team that work here. Now, some music to say bye-bye and talk to you next September the 6th. Thank you, Erin, one more time.
Thank
Super
you, Consuelo.
Happy to meet you. Bye-bye, everybody. Yeah, but put the music.
Thank you. published your diary, and that's how I got to know you. The key to the room of your own and a mind without end. And here's a young girl on a kind of a telephone line through time, and the voice of the other end comes like a long lost friend. So I know I'm all right. Life will come, life will go. Still I feel it's all right, 'cause I just got a letter to my soul. And my whole life is on the tip of my tongue. Empty pages for the no longer young. The apathy of time laughs in my face. You say each life has its place. The hatches were battened, the thunder clouds rolled, and the critics stormed.
Listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members and from Edgefield Concerts presenting Pink Martini's 30th season celebration featuring China Forbes, Storm Large, and more special guests on Saturday, August 17th. Tickets and info